Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY25 results conference call hosted by Samvardhana Motherson International Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. V.C. Sehgal from Motherson. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sehgal.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the SAMIL results conference call. I'm pleased to announce that the board has approved the results for the quarter four and the full year of financial year 2025. First, I'm filled with great joy and pride to highlight that this marks our 50th anniversary of Motherson. We have come a long way, where my mother and me started the business in 1975 with 1,000 rupees. Today, to over 1.13 lakh crores on a net basis, 25.7 billion on a gross basis for financial year 2025. To tell you, 1,000 rupees in India goes a long way if reinvested. To commemorate this special occasion, the board has recommended a bonus issue in the ratio of 1 is to 2. That is, one bonus equity share for every two equity shares held. On behalf of the company, I would like to express my gratitude to you, the entire shareholder community, for your confidence in Motherson. We should also like to thank our customers for their trust and continuous support. We also express our sincere thanks to over 200,000 strong Motherson family members for their efforts, dedication, and exceptional hard work. I am pleased to announce that the board congratulated the Motherson team for an exceptional performance over the five-year period despite numerous challenges in a very, very volatile world. The company achieved its highest-ever sales, outpacing the automotive industry by building several new facilities, integrating a record number of 23 acquisitions, and successfully entering new industries. It has also exceeded customer expectations on quality and received multiple global awards. While delivering an all-round growth and expansion, we remain focused on free cash flow and are able to bring the leverage ratio to the lowest level at 0.9 net debt to EBITDA in the five-year period. For more details on the results, I would like to hand it over to Vaaman and his team to provide a walkthrough and business insights. Over to you, Vaaman.
Thank you, Papa. Good evening, everyone. Motherson has delivered its best-ever performance to date, reporting full-year revenues of approximately 113,600 crores, an increase of 15% year-on-year. EBITDA rose by 17% to 10,877 crores, while profit after tax, our concerned share, is up 40% to 3,803 crores compared to FY24. This performance has come in a challenging production environment and is a strong testament to our most important strengths, that is, our execution capabilities, which have been supported by a well-diversified business model. It provides a cushion against volatilities, enabling strong resilience from our side. Performance over the last 5 years is perhaps a clear demonstration of the strength of our diversified business model, and you can see more of this on slide four. In this period, we have grown revenues at about 19% CAGR, EBITDA at 21% CAGR, and PAT concerned share at 68% CAGR. Needless to say, all this in a period which saw every possible type of uncertainty and volatility, be it COVID, semiconductor shortages, geopolitical conflicts. I could go on and on. Ever-changing trade dynamics. You understand this picture. So coming back to the performance for FY2025, while the macro environment remains largely stable, global light vehicle production declined by about 1%, reaching around 89.7 million units. This softness was most apparent in the developed markets, while emerging markets such as India and China demonstrated resilience and registered low single-digit growth. As we ride through the current financial year, there are signs of softening of production volumes driven mainly by uncertainties created by evolving trade dynamics and evolving platform mix. However, increased penetration of both hybrids and EVs, continued trends of premiumization, and an increasing preference for SUVs continue to be the tailwinds and are contributing to content growth. While the trade policies are what they are and will keep on changing, we worry about what is in our control. A lot of you have been asking about implications of the recent changes in the trade politics and policies, and I would again like to reiterate that we follow a global local strategy, and hence majority of our US sales is USMCA compliant. For the remaining portion of the sales, we are in constructive discussions with our customers regarding the pass-through of tariff-related charges and do not see any material financial impact. You can see more about this on slide 19. The uncertainties around trade dynamics led to pre-buying and build-up of safety stock in March 2025. This implied higher receivables and inventories and consequently higher working capital. Our working capital as of March 2025 has expanded by approximately 2,000 crores and there is an opportunity to reduce it in ensuing quarters. You can see more on this on slide 14. We have come a long way in our diversification journey and you can see more information about this on slide 20. On the customer front, I'm happy to announce that we've already achieved 3CX10. On the geography front, there's a fine balance between developed and emerging markets. While developed markets are going through some flux, the emerging markets, on the other hand, are showing tremendous promise and growth potential. More than 50% of our revenues in FY25 came from emerging markets. As highlighted, developed markets are experiencing some structural changes, and we are taking proactive measures to stay aligned to these changes. We have already announced a series of transformative measures in Western and Central Europe to breathe with the market, enabling a cost block optimization of approximately 50 million euros, which we hope to be realized over the next couple of years. These structural changes, while volatile in the short term, are also throwing up new opportunities such as reshoring of RFQ packages. This is a perfect example of our diversification strategy shielding us from regional volatilities. Additionally, this provides us multiple acquisition opportunities to solve supply chain problems for our customers and remaining true to our vision of being a preferred sustainable solutions provider. On the business front, I have some further interesting developments to share. The vision system vertical has made strong inroads into camera monitoring systems in the CV segment with lifetime sales of over $400 million. This is a strong testament to our electronics and software capabilities that we have developed homegrown in SMR. In the aerospace business, which we started in this 5-year journey, has already grown 5x in a year and today we're proud to say is a tier one supplier to Airbus across its portfolio. You can see more on this on slide 22. Consumer electronics is having a very rapid ramp up and is on track to reach a capacity of 15 to 17 million units by the end of FY26. There are two new greenfields to support the vertical integration and these are also on track for start of production, which you can see more on slide 23. We are also setting up a new PCBA plant to strengthen our vertical integration. And this will also be capable to cater to external customers apart from our internal needs. Building on the capabilities of the aerospace division, we are setting up a new greenfield to supply components for equipment used to manufacture silicon wafers, thereby supporting players in the semiconductor industry. Looking at all these new developments, our CapEx guidance for the next year and including for our existing business is about 6,000 crores plus or minus 10%. 50% of this is regular capex and 50% is purely growth oriented. Majority of the growth business is towards a non-automotive piece. While we continue to invest for future growth, our approach remains prudent and disciplined with net effective debt to EBITDA ratio at 0.9x as of close of FY25. We remain well within our stated policy with strong balance sheet capability. Our consolidated ROCE for FY25 is 17.2. However, if we normalize ROCE by excluding the greenfields that have been operational in Q3 and Q4 and including Atsumi Tech, which we just closed a few months ago, this comes close to about 17.7%. Moreover, there is an additional 2,000 crores of expanded working capital, which I highlighted earlier, which if normalized would mean a ROS of more than 18%. Finally, there is no better proof of the stability and strength of the diversified business model than a large booked business order of approximately $88 billion. We are extremely proud of our journey so far, and we are sure that with the continued trust of our shareholders, support from our customers, and spirit of our global teams, we are on a very exciting journey ahead. The future is really bright. With this, I conclude my remarks. I have with me on the call Pankaj sir, Kunal, and Rajat, who will be happy to take your questions now. Moderator, if you could please take over.
Certainly. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star, then one, on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star, then one. Our first question comes from the line of Binay from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi team, congrats on the performance in a very challenging environment. My first question is on the presentation on slide 24, you've given $2.7 billion of non-auto order book. Then another slide we've given $1.3 billion is coming from aerospace. So could you share where is this remaining $1.4 billion coming from? Is it consumer electronics or which business is this?
Yeah, this is Vaman here. It's coming from all of the others. Of course, consumer electronics is also growing at a fast pace because we already have those plants that are operational. Plus, we said that the additional plants are also coming up with steam. But they're a mix of all the other businesses. And we expect this to grow even further in coming quarters.
And is it fair to look at the remaining $1.4 billion revenue? Because, you know, we've added another plant in the consumer electronic business this time. So we've increased our plant over there. So is it fair to say that, you know, you sort of have some revenue estimate of those plants added in this order book?
Yes, but still more to come. As you know, that the order book of that business is generally very small. Consumer electronics business is only about 6 months to 1 year max. So, you know, once the plant is up and ready, you will see a lot more of that order book come in because that's when you have visibility to those orders. Unlike the automotive, which is 5 to 7 years, the consumer electronics is much shorter. But yes, this is also for the other businesses, like I said. So, you know, just watch out for the space. We believe a lot more growth is to come in these new businesses.
That is very helpful, Vaman. Just on the consumer electronics, like we gave this line that, you know, 15 to 17 million units by end of FY26. So, like, what exactly is a unit? Like, for example, is one phone screen, one unit? That's the way to think about it. Because, you know, when you look at the pictorial depiction, the third plant looks significantly bigger than the second plant. You know, so I'm just trying to see that, you know, with just the second plant, if we're talking about 15, 17 million units, then the third plant scale, you know, like what exactly, or am I understanding units incorrectly, that one phone is not one unit?
Right, good question. Actually, you know, our joint venture is into glass. So, you know, it's not just phones, it could do a lot of things in the future as well. So right now, of course, we are starting with one product line, but these the technology and the capability is able to cater to multiple of different devices. So right now, yes, it is more towards the phone side, but like I said, the further capability will come into other products as well. So, like I said, you have to use some imagination with that. But we'll provide you a lot more information in coming quarters as that, you know, starts come up to steam.
So if I might add, you already some bits of the product that we are doing. As we move ahead, we had highlighted again and again that we are not going to be just an assembler. We want to do the manufacturing and engineering of it also. And hence, going ahead, there is a portion of backward integration that will also start featuring to our consumer electronics. please.
Yeah, I know we hope to see these products at your Motherson Investor Day, which you usually hold every once in 5 years. Just last question, what is the final, like we earlier said, 2600 crore investment in consumer electronics. What is the number now? Because we've added plants over there.
Look, right now it remains the same. What you are seeing on the slide that you are referring to is pertaining to the 2600. I think where Vaman was mentioning, there is obviously conversation ongoing for further expansions. We had highlighted it also when we had raised capital in September last year. So some of those conversations are ongoing, and as we progress through the year, you may hear more about it.
Great, great. Thanks, team.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Raghu Nandan from Nuvama Research. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congrats on strong performance in challenging times. Firstly, to Kunal, sir. Sir, on the module and polymer business, cost seems to have increased YOY and QOQ. Any cost pressures you would like to call out? Was there any one-offs?
Yeah, this is Vaman here. Definitely, that was a place where we had the maximum pressure, because of course the customer mix over there is still figuring out their program launches. We did have some issues in launches as well, which we have now taken care of, and they're all behind us. So definitely this was one place that we look back and say that this is a place that we can make more improvements coming up in coming quarters, and it should only improve from here.
Look, if I might add, the European market in the last quarter was obviously going through some amount of production realignment. We saw around about 8 or 9% decline in the automotive production, which meant the volume throughput was somewhat limited in the European market, the largest part of the business in MPP, and hence the cost looks elevated on that account as well. Keeping that in mind, in April you would have seen we have also announced a transformative plan to target around about 50 million of cost. A lot of that is part of this division as well. And in the next couple of years, we should be able to target that cost and return that piece as well.
Thank you, sir. On the consumer electronics piece, the first plant started operation in November. How is the ramp-up happening? Would it be too early to give out a revenue number for Q4? And the 15 to 17 million capacity, would it be possible to indicate the revenue potential?
Look, we are not allowed to give out too many numbers for these plants, but I can tell you from the quality perspective, everything was matched. We definitely did a very, very good ramp up, a record time ramp up. For all our customers in that plants, and the joint venture is going really, really good. We have great cooperation. The customers have been extremely happy, but we'll be able to really tell you once the new plant is up and those orders kick in, and only then we'll be able to tell you more about that. But I can tell you from a more structural side, it's really much better than our expectation.
Thank you, sir. On the global situation, over the medium term, how do you see the shifts happening in the supply chain? And in terms of some of the global OEMs have been talking about increasing US production, over the medium term, would Motherson stand to gain, given that you already have a strong presence in US? How do you think the supply chains will align over the medium term? That's my last question. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good question. I think, this is something that Papa has been driving in the group for a long period of time, that we are not a company that wants to do a lot of exports. All our plants are local. We try to make them locally competitive, support locally, invest in them. So definitely, whenever there are shifts like these, we have a good opportunity to grow because of our geographical presence in all the countries where these markets are, and our close presence to the customers. So I think that's been one of our strengths in you know, waves of these volatilities and uncertainties that you see, and hence the performance also is in front of you. We are much more agile to be able to shift productions as the customer needs and are already physically present in all those locations with capacity present. This is also something that you know, Papa forced us to do, that, you know, as soon as the plant reaches about 75%, 80% of capacity, we start paving way for how to increase it in the short term and be ready for increased production. So that's worked really well for us, and also the reason why the customers are looking to us for providing solutions for you know, those places where they have not been able to get these solutions. So overall, like I said, I think the performance of the company has been phenomenal on even though all these things that you're talking about of shifts of production, volatility, uncertainties are there, we have coped with it much better because of our production base.
Thank you, sir, for that. Wishing you all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nitij Mangal from Jefferies. Please go ahead. Line of the participant has dropped from the question queue. We'll move on to the next question. Our next question comes from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. First of all, congratulations on a very strong performance in the five-year plan, and look forward to meeting you for the next one. My question is on the modules and polymer products division. You mentioned there were some challenges, but given that we are, you know, in turbulent times and there have been tariffs related issues as well, just want to understand whether it was Q4 that faced most of those challenges, and what should be the starting point for us to look at the margins of this division? Would the annual margins be the right benchmark? Or because, you know, the presentation also talks about some inherent cost changes. So if you could just articulate that as well. What are those and how are you looking to handle them?
Okay, thanks, Kapil, for that question. I'll start, and maybe Kunal can support me on some of that. Look, you know, when you're running 400 facilities globally, even if, you know, you have a problem in 5% of them, that's 20 facilities, right? So first of all, you have to understand the nature of our business. You know, we are taking over companies that are financially in distress. Sometimes the customer is telling us to take a lot of programs on, which are complicated. So always, you know, we are ready for some sort of a situation where, you know, things have not really gone exactly as per plan, and that's part of the business. Yet we have a very strong DNA of never give up. It's never that we have ever given up a program, a platform, or a unit or something like that. And we work together with the customer, the people, and the whole group really supports to be able to solve the issues that they are on the field. So likewise, even in this situation, I think we did have a couple of launches that perhaps did not go exactly as we had planned them. Numerous reasons why, but we're not a company that gives excuses, so I'm not going to get into that. We could have definitely done better, and that's something that we are planning for as we move forward. And we have strengthened these things in the last quarter. Definitely, from the way I see it, that the worst is behind us. The tick up in the margin should only be positive from here, as long as, of course, the volume holds. Now, you do see that the customers are still figuring out their you know, product portfolios, which are the EVs that they are launching. Some of them are having some success. Some of them are not getting the response that they originally envisaged. So it is a mixed bag. And again, our diversified customer base in these regions, the bolt-on acquisitions that we have done, all of that should, again, as we are solving the problems as we go along, should augur better. And you should look at it as a year-on-year number, so not a quarter-on-quarter number. Too many factors affecting it on a quarter basis. So definitely for the next year, I think you should see a stark improvement from where we are.
Well, thanks, sir. That's quite helpful. The second question is on the acquisition opportunities, given this environment we are seeing, many companies facing challenges, and we've historically been good in taking these opportunities. Given the current scenario, how you think about the acquisition opportunity and the landscape over there, will there be any new considerations that you will take into account besides the usual one that you do? I ask this because of the changes in cost structures which are taking place, and also the changes in supply chain. So I know you can't talk about specific opportunities, but just broad high level thoughts will help.
Hi, this is Chand here. We are always open to acquisitions, and we personally, I think that this makes more sense than a joint venture or trying to reinvent the wheel ourselves, because once you own the company, then you are having the complete freedom to go anywhere in any country and everything. But I have always been guiding my people that you have to make sure that a customer is standing behind asking for that particular acquisition. So if it's only that, you feel that's a good business, I'd rather that I have a customer telling me that he needs that product, and hence he wants us to do the acquisition. So Motherson is always open for acquisitions, but like we have said always, and you can see it in the past, all the acquisitions that we do, there's a customer standing behind it, and that then gives us the chance to make all three of us happy in that particular thing. And probably that's the reason why 48 of our acquisitions are all doing well. So I hope that answers your question.
Very much, sir, and look forward to more of those happening through the next year. Just on the aerospace. Certainly. So, just lastly, on the aerospace division, we saw very strong revenue ramp up over there through last year, but margins have come off. So just if you could share some color over there as well, what's really going on?
Yeah, look, aerospace has been a great addition to the group. Of course, you're seeing numbers now with the addition of AD Industries as well. That was also a unit that was struggling with profitability. So, of course, we are making huge inroads together with the customers to improve that, and driving group synergies to bring that to the level where we expected Motherson. So obviously in the short term, you're seeing that it takes a dip. Apart from that, we're also expanding the facilities. We build greenfield facilities together with our partner Simpsons in Bangalore. So those are ramping up. The customer situation is improving gradually, but in the right direction. But we believe there's further improvements to come. And also we are pivoting these industries to be serving some of the other customers, such as semiconductor and things like that, which will also help to deal with the cyclicality of some of these things when they happen. So again, these are just offshoots right now. You're seeing good growth opportunities. The profitability will come surely in the coming quarters. And again, request you to look at it more on a year-on-year basis and really see where we are able to take it by next year.
Thank you, sir, and the best wishes for this financial year as well.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the line for the management reconnected. And we'll take the next question from the line of Aman Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was that, now that, fiscal 25 has ended and we are at the end of, the last five-year plan, any initial thoughts, for Vision 2030, what are the broad areas that we should be looking at? What are you thinking about, over the next, five-year horizon?
Thomas, we are not thinking, we already know what it is. And Madhusudan works in a way that by December of 2024, fifth year, last quarter, the whole group had already worked together as to what the number will be for the next 5 years. And we're going to inaugurate that number where, Mom?
We are going to have a investor conference in September, and we will tell the full team the details around it. But Papa, maybe you can, since the question has been asked and we've finished the five-year plan, you can at least give them the highlight of it.
If I give them the number, they'll have a small heart attack. So this is okay by me. If you're up to it, I can tell you the number. But I think the details and all this will probably be best served if we give you around, I think, October, November, I think this year, when the investor conference will be here. And this time we are wanting to hold the conference in Bombay, I think, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to make it easier for most of the game, you know. So we'll probably hire a football team or something. Okay. The number, all the groups and everything put together, we are targeting for 2030, it will be 108 billion US on the top line. And of course, the ROAS remains same at 40%. I hope all your hearts are fine.
Yeah. Now, even more reason for us to look forward to the details as, you know, when you host the investor conference. But yeah, thanks for giving a glimpse of what we should expect.
Yep.
Just, you know, one or two follow up on the accounting. This consumer electronics venture that you have, just from my understanding, is it a consolidated or this is part of the unconsolidated JVs that you report, just from a reporting and accounting point of view?
It's consolidated, I mean.
Okay, consolidated. Okay. And secondly, your tax rate for this quarter was, very low. I noticed that the same thing happened last year, fourth quarter. Is there something which happened in the fourth quarter that, you know, just we should be mindful of?
No, look, I think obviously during the other quarters you are building it out on an estimate basis. Then at the end of the year you have the final outcomes and then you get to whatever is the adjusted tax base depending upon how the previous quarters are looking like. Having said so, there were some one-offs that occurred, all the way totaling to around about 45 on a net basis. Which included some of the tax refunds that we got, some places where we reversed our DTAs, and some one-off costs on account of the prepayment of debt that we did with the QIP money. Okay. So altogether that impact is around about 45. Majority of that is in the tax bucket. And hence you're seeing this at a slightly muted level. But better way to look at it would actually be for the year piece rather than for the quarter
okay.
piece.
Sure, that's helpful. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Oakland Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. A couple of questions. First is, we have taken approval for raising debt of 8,500 crores. So can you talk about that? What are the applications which you're looking for that?
Now look, this is once a year we take it. It's on an estimated basis. It's not that there is something getting planned imminently. It's an in-principle approval that has been sought from the board. And obviously, when we do raise it, you will hear about all the details, including the use of proceeds and so on.
Got it. Okay. And secondly, the consumer electronics business, including the phase one, which is operational, are we thinking about applying for PLI for electronic components? Are we eligible for that?
We are eligible for that, including some of the SPAC related, which are specially created by the local government, the state government for the electronic manufacturing piece. So yes, we are part of that.
Okay, so we'll be applying for that. Okay, great. Thirdly, with respect to the PCB assembly greenfield capex which you're putting up, we have mentioned it's for autos, but are we also thinking from non-auto perspective? Is that also an opportunity given that there's again reasonable input content there?
Look, like with everything else, it's a capability set that we are building. So obviously, while it is currently for backward integration on the automotive piece, but once we are there, there's nothing stops us from going for any other industry as well.
That's right, Kunal. I think you know, the most important piece is that, you know, we bring that capability to us in-house. And as you know, the customers are also requiring that more and more of the electronics on the automotive side is done in-house. This is a push from the government as well, which of course is a good opportunity for all of us to be able to do that. But we're not stopping there. Our idea is much larger. We're looking at the right partnerships to enhance capabilities over there. And of course, we're fully capable to do right now what we need for our business. But we're thinking quite larger. And of course, as things develop further over there, we'll come back to you and tell you about those also.
Okay. Paman, any sense on how big imports on PCBs currently and what is the opportunity set we are looking at?
Look, this is something that you know, we've been working on for a while. Of course, the wire harness business itself was also doing some of that, and now what we're doing is we're putting the entire group's requirement as one. So SMR has a requirement. 15 globally already. 15 lines. Yeah. Rajat is telling me that, you know, total of 15 lines globally is the requirement of we already have. And, you know, we're building now, of course, for the Indian requirement and, you know, in the future also be able to export. On top of that, like we are talking about our expansion in the consumer electronics, you know, more and more components are coming with the PCBA requirements. So, you know, we're just preparing for that. So we have a large requirement of our own. We're catering to that. And like I said, we will build further on from here once we have secured our own requirement.
Got it. I just missed the 59 number. What was that which Rajat mentioned?
So what I was trying to tell is that we already have 15 lines globally across the group. So across
we already have.
Yeah, so already have. And, you know, it was to your question that what is the potential and what's the size. So it's not that, you know, we don't have this capability. Right? We already have, but it's right. About, you know, preparing more for what we see coming in the future.
And as everything is getting electronics, we'll need more and more of that.
So surely this is a step in the right direction. I was just trying to understand how big this opportunity can be. Great, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kunjan Vidyanjan from Bank of
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a couple of follow-up questions. On the consumer electronic business, is it possible to share of the 2,600 crore number that you had given on capital commitment, how much of it has been done in fiscal 25? And also this, you know, this 6,000 crore, which we again have given that non-automotive would be 50%. So is it possible to break that further and give some sense on how much goes towards consumer electronics?
Look, in the period March 25, I think we have done around about 900 to 1,000 crores out of the 2,600 crores. So part of that obviously flows into the 26 capex guidance. And then you're seeing some of the other pieces which are semiconductor linked, some of the PCBA pieces, some of the medical pieces, which are all in the works right now, new aerospace facility coming in, which are all part of the non-automotive part of the group piece.
And for fiscal 26, I mean, how big this 1,000 crore could get to, like, we end up spending the entire 2,600 crores within F26 itself?
Look, it is difficult to really say it for certain, but having said so, right now with our plan, the larger facility is supposed to kickstart by mid of FY27. Going by that, a majority of it should get spent in this year if we are going to be ready for that facility in mid of next year. So I would imagine most would get spent.
Okay, so that the new greenfield plant is part of this 2600 crore capital commitment.
That's right. You're talking about the large greenfield with
the large new greenfield plant, yes.
Yeah, it's not new, it's part of the 20, it was always part of the 2600. So, but you're right.
Okay, and the 15 to 16 million units is only the phase one, which is sort of already underway. The plant two and plant three will add on top of that. Is that understanding correct?
That is right. So one plant is already underway. Plant two will kickstart in the next few months. And that is where we are seeing that the ramp up of this to be somewhere around the 15 to 17 million units by the end of this year. And obviously then our largest facility will kick in, which will further enhance this capacity plus build in all the other backward integration pieces as well. And hence that becomes a much more comprehensive portfolio going ahead.
Okay, got it. And just last clarification on this piece, consumer electronics business, I noticed when you do the capex slide, you put it in lighting and electronics. Whereas when we talk about the order book, we call it in the non-automotive piece. So I'm just slightly confused in terms of where is it coming in revenues. Is it coming in the lighting and electronics revenue stream, or is it coming in non-automotive somewhere?
No, it is in the lighting and electronics piece. It is more driven out of the fact that it is electronic driven, and hence it is residing in that division. As that business becomes larger, we will start putting it out as a separate item, much like we have done for integrated assemblies as an example.
Okay, got it. That's amply clear. The other question that I had was on the wiring harness business. Now, when I look at the margins of the business, they've actually, if I look at quarter or even if I look at annually, they've done quite well. But when I look at the, there has been some pressure on the India piece. So it seems like a lot of that margin expansion or improvement is coming from PKC. Generally, that industry has been under pressure, right? Commercial vehicles. Just trying to understand what's happening on the margin piece on wiring harness, and it's a little bit different from what we're seeing on the Indian entity.
So, this is Pankaj here. When you're talking about the India piece, there are two components to it. There is a standalone business which has done very well. There is also domestic Indian industry, which is part of the subsidiaries or the associate companies. And there has been a lot of expansion. So you would see that there has been a lot of growth and the new plant setups. If you see the commentary from MSWIL, you would note that there have been expansion expenses relating to new plants and some delayed launches by the customers, which have impacted to some extent the margins. But they have still been able to manage very good return on capital employed. So the focus has been on ROS there. And the global business is not only PKC because it's one mother son. So as a whole division, there are multiple units around the world. Coming out of COVID, we had a lot of challenges on the supply chain. We insourced many things. So the team around the world worked very hard and worked together with the customers to find unique solutions, continue to work on VAVs and optimizations and improving the efficiencies. So that has all resulted in set of numbers.
Okay, got it. And last question on the slide 20, I think you talk about 20 or 21. I think you talk about Yachio being able to cross sell beyond Honda. Can you talk a little bit more about this? I mean, what is the potential? How should we think about the growth in Yachio and the overall Japan piece, which sort of stands at about 2%, I think, which you mentioned in your country-wise. How should, how is that composition changing with all the acquisitions that we've made with the Japanese OEMs now?
Yachio is a new entrant into mother-son field. What we have been able to show to Honda management is that immediately with them coming, we have got them the orders from other car makers as well. Till now, they were only for working for Honda. All Honda cars all over the world carry their sunroofs. Now, they've already broken ground with new ones. Next step is to bring in the German car makers and American car makers as well into the fold. So, Yachiyo has a terrific history. Is probably very competent and probably the only living company at the moment doing this business. So we're grateful for Honda-san to have trusted us and to give us this. But I think there's a tremendous amount of future for them. What do you think, Vaman?
Yeah, absolutely, Baba. I think not just that. I think fuel tanks is also there, and we're seeing the resurgence of hybrid vehicles, and people thought that, you know, fuel tanks won't be used anymore. Well, hybrid is still using them, so that's growing quite fast for us, and they have, you know, incredible technology at that and probably the world's best capability at doing so. So a lot of potentials, or a lot of new business opportunities, entrance into new customers. We are very happy with how Yachiyo has integrated together with Motherson to create another product line for us, multiple product lines for us, and getting a lot of you know, good feedback from our customers as well that this was something that was needed to bring in. So far, I think you will only see that Yachiyo continues to grow. We are in it to invest further, to diversify the customer base, and even perhaps bring in more product groups. And also possible acquisition opportunities as they become even stronger.
Thank you, Vaman. That's exactly what I wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I'll join back the queue.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star then one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Preet from InCred AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if you could just break up the organic and inorganic revenue for quarter 4 financial year 25 and for the full year.
For the full year, on the inorganic side, we have done around about 8,500 crores. This is there on slide 10 of the presentation. I think if you look at it from a year-on-year basis, for the 12-month, we would have grown organically around 7 or 8%. And if I look at it on a quarter-on-quarter basis, then it will probably be flattish on the organic side.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Pankaj from Efflute. Please go ahead.
Based on gross revenues, which currently is 25-26 or business billion US dollars?
Pankaj sir, sorry to interrupt. Your line was not audible until now. Could you please repeat your question once again?
Sure. Thanks for taking my question. This question is for Sehgal Senior. You talked about 5-year vision, 2030 destination, I mean. Is the $108 billion of revenues which you talked about, is it based on gross revenues, which currently as on FY25 was around $26 billion? Or is it based on reported net revenue, which is around 13 or billion US dollars?
Very good question. I had already requested that we are not wanting to give more details, but normally we go on gross revenue. That's because many different countries, many different taxes and all that. So we follow a number which is gross, and that's how you should look at it. And let's wait till another 3-4 months, and we'll give you all the details as much as you want.
Sure. Thanks a lot, sir. So it means 4 times, or around 4 to 5 times in next 5 years. Well, wishing you good luck for the same.
Thanks. Sir, we are on the 7th 5-year plan. And we have started from, what was it, 10 crores, 12 crores to 100 crores, 100 crores to 200 crores, 200 crores to 10,000 crores, 10,000 crores to 1 billion, 1 billion to 5 billion, 5 billion to 18 billion, which we didn't do because of COVID. And then that time we did about 9 billion, and now we are at about 26. But this 5-year plan, just keep in the mind that we have lost almost 3 years because of COVID and related problems. And so we only had 2 years to go from 9 to 27. So that's about 3x. And now we want to go, as you said, 4x, 5x, I don't know. X's are not important. But the main thing is the whole group is standing behind its target. And with bottom line, please.
Sure, I'm done with my question.
Thank you.
I'm done with my answer.
Participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star, then 1 on your touchtone phone now. As there are no further questions from the line of the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. V.C. Sehgal for closing comments.
We actually had no intention to take the storm out of the people's this thing, but I think there was genuinely a request to give some kind of indication as to what our target would be. I just want to reiterate that this particular target is the aspirations of Madhsa. They have done this particular thing every 5 years. They have come up and they have never adjusted the numbers. And look forward to seeing all of you in the investor conference. And that time, we are thinking this time we should do it in Mumbai so that more and more people can come and have a look and also understand from the teams themselves as to what they visualize their future to be in the next 5 years. So wish you all the best, and thank you for attending this call. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Back to you.
Thank you. On behalf of Samvardhana Mothers and International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.